Danielle mentioned this is a family service. What we've decided to do this summer, normally the children go out, around about this point, they head off to children's church. And what we decided to do is we have two family services, one in July today, and then one in August as well. This is a great thing just to have all of our church family in together for the whole time. So what I will do, because the children are staying in, when I speak, when I give my talk, I want to make something that's appropriate for the children. But it's not just for the children. Hopefully what we shared today, what I teach, is appropriate spiritually for everybody, no matter what your age. If you're 8 years of age or you're 80, we hope there are spiritual truths and God will really speak to each one of us as well this morning. And what I wanted to think about today is about the great topic of prayer, because that's something I've been thinking about and speaking about over the last couple of weeks. Two Sunday nights ago, I talked about this verse, the prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. And then last Sunday morning, we thought again about this verse. We were working through Mark's Gospel. We thought about prayer, and we brought it back again into this verse. So I thought I'd continue again this week to think about prayer, because we've got the children sitting with us today. And I really want to encourage you boys and girls to be boys and girls who pray to a great God in heaven, because prayer is powerful and it's effective. And I want to speak to the adults again and really encourage you to challenge you spiritually to be people of prayer. What impact will our church have if we are a church of people who pray? Boys and girls, teenagers, older folks, praying to a great and mighty and a powerful God. And so what I want us to think about as a church family this morning is four words from the book of Colossians. The book of Colossians is a letter that the Apostle Paul wrote. There's four chapters in it. And really the point of the letter that Paul wrote to a local church, a bit like us, didn't live in Carrickfergus, they lived in a place called Colossae, but Paul wrote a letter to a church just like us, and he wrote to them to encourage them to keep on following Jesus. The real point of his letter is Jesus is better. Jesus is greater than anybody, anything else, so keep following Jesus. And then in the fourth chapter, the last chapter of his letter, he writes lots of different instructions. Lots of different instructions to the Christians in this church. He really wants to encourage them. And these four words are four words that he uses to challenge and encourage these Christians in a church just like ours. He says, devote yourselves to prayer. Devote yourselves to prayer. That's a very simple memory verse. Four words. I think we could all master that. Maybe you could say it with me, those four words, after two. One, two. Devote yourselves to prayer. If the Apostle Paul was here this morning, he would say the same thing to us, to the boys and girls, to the adults. Anybody who's a Christian, who loves Jesus Christ, he would say, devote yourselves to prayer. Now, I'm sure the children know what prayer is. It's something we do in our church services. I just prayed a few moments ago with Andrew and Natalie. We pray at different parts of our church. Danielle prayed after we sang the first two songs. I think we all know what prayer is, but maybe you don't know what the word devote means. That might be a word that's new to our boys and girls. Really what the word devote means is to give your all to something that you love. To give your all to something that you love. Let me give you an example. We didn't always as a family live here in Carrickfergus. We moved here 4.5 years ago. And before we moved in Carrickfergus, we lived in a little village called Sainfield in County Down. And we lived in a street with about 15 homes. And in the street where we lived, there were lots of other children. And our girls loved playing in the street. They'd be out on their bikes. They'd be riding about. They'd be playing with all the other boys and girls. And quite often what I would have to do is go out in the street just to keep an eye on them, that no cars hit them as they rode on their bikes and so forth. Now, there was another family that lived beside us. And they had three children just like us as well. And our kids always played with the McCoubry family who lived across the way. They were our best friends in the street. Now, they had a son, their middle son. His name was Ewan. And he's now 12. He's the same age as our Josie. In fact, they were in the same primary school class. Now, when Ewan came out in the street, he only ever did one thing. He only ever did the one thing that he was devoted to. And the one thing that Ewan was devoted to was playing football. And he put his heart into the thing that he really, really loved. He gave his all. So first thing in the morning, I would hear this thump, thump, thump. And it was Ewan out kicking his football. And he had a goal, they had a little bit of grass in their front garden, and they had a net in the front garden, and he would be kicking. And he really wanted to improve. He wanted to take it seriously because he wants to be a professional footballer. And so he's right-footed, but he also wanted to improve his left foot. And because he's devoted to his football, he would be practicing with his weaker foot, shooting. And then when his dad was about, he'd get his dad to cross the ball so he could practice his headers. If ever I was out in the street keeping an eye on these three, Ewan would always say to me, Peter, would you be goalkeeper? And I would end up doing goalkeeper as he practiced his football morning, afternoon, and night. In fact, a few years ago, the family decided to go to Euro Disney for their holiday in Paris. The other children were really excited. Ewan was not excited about going to Euro Disney. In fact, he asked his dad, I'll only go if you let me bring my football. He thought going on the rides would waste time from practicing his football. He is totally, totally devoted. In fact, he's really good at football, and he's signed and training for Swansea, who are a premiership club at the moment. So that's his dream, that he can follow it through, become a footballer. And because he's obsessed with it, that's what he gives his all his time and attention to. That's what the word devote means. Give your all to something that has your heart. Here's what Paul said to the Christians in the church. Devote yourselves to prayer. Now that's a challenge, isn't it? That's a challenge for us adults. And that's a challenge for the boys and girls as well. I wonder how many of us could say that we devote ourselves to prayer. Is prayer just something that we pray occasionally, maybe when we're worried about something or things aren't going right? Do we maybe just say a little token prayer before we go to bed at night, same thing every night? Or are we people who give our all and all to something that has our hearts? Do we devote ourselves to prayer? Prayer is something we should devote ourselves to. Why? Because that verse that I showed before that we've been thinking about over the last couple of weeks says, the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. When we pray to a mighty God, incredible things happen. And because incredible things happen when we pray to a mighty God, we should give our all in all. We should devote ourselves to prayer. That's a challenge, isn't it, folks? I wonder what kind of church we would have if the folks here devoted ourselves to prayer. But sometimes I think many of us struggle with prayer. And sometimes we're like these characters I'm going to put up on the screen. Many of the boys and girls will be familiar with the Mr. Men series. I actually mentioned this about a month ago on a Sunday morning series. I was preaching through Exodus at the time, and I said that the children of Israel were a bit like one of the Mr. Men characters. I said they were like Mr. Grumble. That's what they did. They grumbled and grumbled. But I think some of us are like these Mr. Men characters when it comes to prayer as well. Now, here's a picture of one of the Mr. Men characters. I'll not ask the adults this question, but maybe some of the children are familiar with this. Anybody know which character this is from the very popular Mr. Men book series? Mr. Rush is close. Not quite. Close, close, close. It's another word that means Mr. Busy. Let's give her a clap. Well done, Rebecca. Mr. Busy. I think the reason many of us are not devoted to prayer is we think we're a bit like this. We're Mr. Busy. We're rushing around everywhere. We have got so much to do. Our days are just full of activities. They're full of things to do. We go morning, noon, and night. We never stop. And we're just too busy to pray, to take the time to be still, to enjoy God's presence, and to talk to Him. We are too busy for that. We get to the end of the day, we're tired, oh, I should have prayed, but I'll do it tomorrow. And we just collapse into our beds. Can I say this? And I say this to myself as well. If we are too busy to pray, we are too busy. If we're too busy to pray, we are too busy. Prayer is important. We need to devote ourselves to it. When Ewan was practicing his football, other things didn't get in the way because that was a priority for him. And so let's make sure that we give time. It's always good to set time apart each day. Maybe some For people, it's in the morning. Sometimes it's people in the evening. But we're disciplined and we say, no, we're not going to be too busy. This is important. We're going to devote ourselves to prayer. Let's be people who pray. Now, on the other extreme, we might have this character. Anybody recognize this one? I am glad you're here, Rebecca. Brilliant. Excellent. Mr. Lazy. Sometimes, when it comes to prayer, I wonder, are we a bit like this character? We know it's the right thing to do. We know it's an important thing to do. We know it's a great thing to do. But to be honest, we're just too lazy. It's easier just to sit back, watch things, do things. But praying, that takes thought. That takes discipline. It takes effort. We're just too lazy. No, what does Paul say? Don't be lazy. Devote yourselves to prayer. There's Mr. Lazy. Now, this one. Do you know this one, Rebecca? Have I stumped? You are perfect in everything. You are the expert on the Mr. Men characters. Do you have these read as bedtime stories? Yes, okay. This here is Mr. Perfect. Look at his hair, not a hair out of place. Now, the problem with Mr. Perfect is he thinks he's perfect. But we know that nobody's perfect. None of us are perfect. In fact, there's only ever been one person who lived here on planet Earth who was perfect. And of course that was... who? Well, God's Son, Jesus Christ. He was perfect. And even, this is the interesting thing, Jesus was perfect, and yet the perfect man still devoted himself to prayer. Many times in the Bible we read about Jesus who prayed to his Father in heaven. Jesus was perfect, and yet he prayed. We are not perfect. In fact, we do lots of wrong things. And so we need to pray. We need to pray and ask for forgiveness. We need to confess our sins regularly because we're not perfect. Mr. Perfect also thinks, I'm sorted. I'm perfect. I don't need help from anybody. I can go through my life. I don't need to depend upon anybody else. I don't need to depend upon God. I wonder, are we like that? If we are people who go through life without praying, what are we thinking in our own minds? We mightn't say it out loud, but we think we're Mr. Perfect. We don't need any help from anybody. But yet we need to rely upon God daily for everything. So let's not make this mistake as well. Now this one here. Excellent. Well done, Mr. Small. And maybe for some of the children who are still in here this morning, maybe this is your attitude to prayer. I'm just very, very small. I'm just very insignificant compared to everything else. And God is so big and God is so great. And actually, look at our world. There are billions of people who live in this world. Why would God be interested in my prayers? Why would God be able to listen and hear and answer my prayers? I'm just small and insignificant. There is nobody too small and there is nobody too insignificant that God will not hear and answer prayers. In fact, when Jesus lived here on earth, once the children, young people, small children were coming to Jesus and the disciples were pushing them away, Jesus will not be interested in these people. And Jesus said, no, bring them to me. God is interested no matter how small you are. And no matter how small you are, you can devote yourself to prayer. Now here's the last one. Yes, Chatterbox. There is a little Miss Chatterbox. And there's also a Mr. Chatterbox as well. Do you know what Mr. Chatterbox is like? He's somebody who talks all the time, never stops, hardly takes a breath. And what you find, you do come across these kind of people every so often, chatterboxes. They end up talking nonsense, don't they? Because they just have to talk for the sake of talking. They've just got to fill all the gaps. And they just keep talking and talking and talking. And yet, they're not saying the important things or the crucial things. And you can waste your time talking to everybody about anything and all the topics of the day and miss out talking to the most important person. Do you know in a day you can speak thousands of words and yet not take any time to speak to God in heaven who asks us to pray to him? And so let's not be like any of these Mr. Men characters. But here's what we need to be, and this is my challenge to us this morning. From Colossians 4 and 2. Maybe we could say these words again after 2. 1, 2. Devote yourselves to prayer. It's a challenge, isn't it? Let's be people who are devoted to prayer. Now, some of the children might be sitting here this morning going, I know that's right. I know I should pray, but what should I pray about? Prayer's difficult. And actually, when I start to pray, my mind just starts to wander. I don't know what to say. What do you say to God? Maybe some of you are here as adults. You're not sure. What do you say when you pray? What do you talk about? What's appropriate? What's not? So there's lots of things that we can say about that. But I want to just very briefly tackle this question this morning. What should we pray when we devote ourselves to prayer? Well, I'm going to give you a very simple help. You don't have to follow this. This is just a suggestion. This might be just a little practical help that may help you in your prayer time. What should we pray? I'm going to take that word, what, and I'm going to take something for each of those letters, W-H-A-T, that will hopefully help you in your prayers as you devote yourself to pray. So what should you pray for? Let's take the first letter, W. Well, worship. What we should do in our prayers, we need to worship God for who he is. That's when we thank God for how wonderful he is. So when I pray here in church, and I did it this morning, I always start my prayers by worshiping God, thanking him that he is great, that he's all-powerful, thanking him that he's created us. I always thank God for his son, Jesus Christ, and his love for us, that Jesus loved us so much that he died on the cross. That's really what it means to worship, to give him all the praise and the thanks for how great and how wonderful he is. And so when the disciples came to Jesus one time and said, teach us to pray, he taught them the Lord's Prayer. Maybe the boys and girls, you say that in school. And in the Lord's Prayer, he starts off by worshiping. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. He wants to make much of God's name. He starts with worship. So what should we pray? Worship God, praise him, give thanks for how great and wonderful he is. Then the H. We need some help, because we are not Mr. Perfect and we're not little Miss Perfect. I'm a sinful person who does wrong things all the time. I struggle with temptations. All these temptations coming to do the wrong things, to sin and to disobey God. I need help. And so in the Lord's Prayer, Jesus taught that as well. Lead us not into temptation. Keep us away from doing sinful things. And so when we pray, we need to pray this every day. Help me not to sin. Help me to obey Jesus and help me not to do the wrong things. So worship, help, then ask. We can come to God with our requests. We ask him. So again in the Lord's Prayer, give us this day our daily bread. Ask him for the food that we need, our basic needs. And so we can ask God for things like that there. But we don't just pray for ourselves. We can ask on behalf of other people. And so this morning, I prayed for Paul Greenfield in our church, who's in hospital at the moment, and we asked God to heal his body. I see Tim Wilson sitting down at the back. I know the children in Sunday school, you've been thinking about Tim and his work out in Africa. He was taking part in our Children's Day this year, and we're praying for Tim. So when you pray, you could ask God to bless Tim and his work and his ministry in Africa as well. This time next Sunday, I will not be here in Carrickfergus. I will be in Kilkeel. I'll be off with the Baptist Youth Camp. There'll be quite a lot of kids and adults from our church away in that camp as well. You could ask God, you could pray for us on the camp, that God would give us safety as we travel about in minibuses. Could you pray that the weather's kind of all right and it doesn't rain too much? That's always a good prayer request. Could you ask God that he help the children to listen as we teach the Bible to them? Could you ask that those children who are not Christians would become Christians next week in camp? That those children who are Christians might be really encouraged to live and follow Jesus as well. Lots of things that we can ask God for. And then the last one, thanks. Because we have a God, he answers prayer. And when God answers prayer, when he gives us our daily needs, maybe when he heals people, when he helps us to say no to sin, give thanks for the wonderful things that God has done. So what should we pray? Well, this might be a help to some of you if you remember that word, what. What should we pray? Worship him. Ask him for help so you don't sin, not given the temptation. Ask him for your daily needs. Ask for other people, prayer requests. And then give thanks for all the great things that he has done in your life. But as a church, Let's take these words on board. Devote yourselves to prayer. Let's pray now. And we're going to close our eyes. The Bible doesn't say you have to close your eyes, but it's a helpful thing to do because it just stops us being distracted by things around us. It helps us to concentrate and focus as well. And so let's come before God and let's pray. Dear Father, we thank you that we can pray, that we have a great God who hears, who answers prayer. And we pray, Lord God, that as a group of people, we pray that we would be devoted to prayer. That we would give our all to something that we love with all our heart. We love to talk to you because you're our great God and Savior. Help us to be a praying church. And as we come before you with prayer, we pray you would answer prayers, that your name might be glorified in this place, and that your church might be built up and encouraged. Help us, from the smallest child here to the oldest adult, to be people of prayer. And we ask this in Jesus Christ's great name. Amen.